We are in the book of Ruth, the first chapter. The book of Ruth. We set the stage last week. The book of Ruth opens with a tragedy, but that's not how it ends. It's going to end. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the ending here. It ends with a victory. This is a true story with a great ending. And along the way, as we go and journey through the book of Ruth, we're going to find God's amazing grace pursuing them the entire time. And we're going to be able to see in our lives how God's amazing grace is pursuing us. It's a story about how God took a Moabite girl by the name of Ruth and brought her out of the death and darkness and made her part of the covenant people of Israel. I mean, she went from one place of despair and agony to some place where God was blessing tremendously. It was a story. The story of how a woman was transformed from a lost sinner to become an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the story of a sinner being pursued by grace. This passage starts out with three widows: Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah and Ruth. These three widows have all just lost their husbands. Now they're in a land, they're left destitute in the country of Moab with little or no hope for the future. Now Ruth and Moab and Orpah, They are natives. So in other words, when they came into this land, Naomi's sons married Moabite women. So they're of this land already. Now, but Naomi was a native of Judah. She was a Jew, and she knew the Lord. And she also knew that she had no place or no business being in Moab. Let's look at in Psalm 68, 60, verse 8, it says, "Moab is my washpot." Okay? God is saying that about Moab. No good respecting Jew should have been in Moab. It was not where God was blessing. By the way, the term washpot is not something that you wanted to be called. It was a name of contempt. Now, after the death of their husbands, in verses 6 and 7, it tells us that Naomi was determined to return to the place where the Lord was blessing, where he was blessing his people. They had been away for 10 years. And in that 10 years, she saw her boys grow up, marry, and then, boom, her husband was killed. Boom, boom, her two sons were killed. And it just left the three of them alone. The Bible presents three women in this passage. Thus, three widows in a washpot. Three women who were in a terrible situation, and widows because they are paying the price for the sin of leaving where God wanted them to be, in Judah. All Naomi has to show right now for her time in Moab is three tombstones in a washpot called Moab. They find themselves in a very bad position, as we have found ourselves in times past in bad positions, haven't we? Maybe it's because of the decisions we made, but all of a sudden we wake up and we realize we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And here you find yourself waking up in the proverbial pig pen, realize that I'm not where I need to be. That's not the problem. The problem is how we react after we realize this. What decisions do we make when we find ourselves in those positions? How they respond to their situation can teach us much about how we should react when we find ourselves away from the Lord and in trouble because of sin. So we're going to be looking at these three widows and the decisions that they made. And we're going to apply them to our lives. And maybe you've made one of these decisions before. The first widow we're going to look at is Naomi. One widow in a place of defeat. Let's read the passage. It's 8 through 13. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." She was taking the blame. The cause of her defeat is found in verses 1 through 5. And that price tag was laid upon her husband. He died because he went to a place that he shouldn't have been. He didn't trust God enough and went from where there was famine in Judah and went to a place where he should not have been, where God did not want him, and did not trust God enough to stay where God would eventually bless. There is always a high price tag on sin. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You get what you sow. And they're paying the high price for that sin. No good will ever come to a child of God who returns and lives in the world and of the world. Those who forsake the kind of life that God wants for them and desires that of the world, nothing good ever happens. And it's the cause of their defeat here, and it's the cause of our defeats in life when we get away from God and are not where we're supposed to be. Her defeat was complete. I want you to listen to her words. Have you ever talked to someone who was completely hopeless in life? They felt like there was nothing in their life at all to be hopeful about, that they were just as soon die. I have way too often. Have you ever been in that point where you're just about to throw up your hands and give up and say, "There is no hope for my life anymore"? I hope not. But when you get to that point, you're going to have to make a decision. Who are you going to trust? Naomi is completely defeated. She saw no hope for today. There was no hope for her. She has nothing in which to take care of herself or her daughter-in-laws. In that society, they just couldn't go out and get a job and have a home. That society would not let them. She has no income, no place to live. She has nothing left but the Lord. And she doesn't realize it then, but that was more than enough. But she didn't realize it. So she had no hope for today. And then she had no hope for tomorrow. She couldn't even picture where she would be or if she would even be the next day. Even her future was bleak. Number one, she had no husband. Some would consider that a blessing. But in that society, a widow without, a woman without a husband was doomed. She has nothing to look forward to in her life but grief and pain over the price being paid to sin, for her sin. And when she speaks of her future, she is speaking of the Levitical marriage. Let's look in Deuteronomy 25 and 5, and it tells us exactly what she was facing. And it says, if brothers dwell together, there were two of them dwelling together there, and one of them dies and has no son, they had no offspring, no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. Brother dies, the brother would take her as wife. Both brothers died. There's no one else. And so when she says, what are you going to do? Wait until I can't have any more kids. I don't even have a husband myself. And I can't have, I'm too old to have kids. And so what? And then if I did, are you going to wait for them to grow up to get married? You silliness, you can't come with me. There is no hope for me. Naomi was more concerned with the material things than the spiritual things. Sin always tends to warp our priorities and our concepts of right and wrong. Sin always takes us and makes us start thinking about what God can't do and rather than what he can do. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who call evil good. Her mind was messed up with sin. Her mind was messed up with grief. Her mind was messed up. And she not once thought about what God could do in her life. And therefore, she just totally forgot about God. And she started looking at, how am I going to eat? Where am I going to stay? What is my life going to be like when I get back home? I'll be an outcast. No one's going to want me. No one's going to have me. And you want to come with me? There's no future with me. And there were some consequences of Naomi's defeat. Naomi was actually encouraging Ruth and Orpah to return to their pagan gods. Think about that for a second. You just go back to your old life. You go worship your old gods. And go back to those wicked lifestyles because you don't want any part of me. She tells them that they'd be better off in a wash pot. They'd be better off in Moab. They might not be accepted in Israel. You're going to come there, you probably won't be accepted in Israel. She says, you need to find husbands of your own kind. She has lost, Naomi has lost the ability to be a powerful witness for the glory of God. And so often, when a person gets defeated by the world because of their sins, they're in a place they shouldn't be, doing things they should not be doing, they are a horrible witness. As a matter of fact, they try to turn people to be like them, to do the things that they do instead of the things of God. You say, well, I can worship God, I can be a Christian outside the confines of the church. I can be a Christian and not be faithful to God. You cannot. You will end up in Moab. You will end up with your witness totally destroyed, and you will end up being you'll end up being a most horrible witness for God. And you're going to think, well, I'm still faithful. I still believe in God. Well, there will come a point in time where even you'll reconsider that. She, Naomi, is proof of the truth that a sad and sin-sick believer is a poor advertisement for the gospel. She's encouraging them to go and worship pagan gods. In Philippians 1:27, look what it says. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or an absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Your witness matters. And when you go off the reservation in sin, when you get in a place where sin is destroying your life, you are no longer a witness to Christ. I take that back. You are no longer a good witness for Christ. Do you see the consequences of sin? It's not just about what happens to you, but it's about what happens to everyone who's looking at you. No child of God should ever be guilty of hindering others from coming to Jesus Christ. Paul called them stumbling blocks. He calls their ministry shipwrecked. When we become the cause for other people not to be able to come to Christ. And Naomi was just that. A stumbling block to them. She's a picture of a child of God who has grown cold and backslidden in the Lord. That's Naomi. She had a decision to make. And she decided to go home, because she had no other place to go. But let's look at the second widow here. In verses 14 and 15. Naomi just told him, you stay here. You don't need to go with me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. The implication is that she left. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone to your people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. We'll get to Ruth in a minute. But what about Orpah? What about her? She's there, and she says, I'll stay with you, and I'll go. And Naomi says, no, you're not. You need to go back to your own. And guess what she did? She went home also. She returned to her relatives. Often family ties and affections are a hindrance to some people receiving the Lord. It's one of the most difficult things to do when you come to know the Lord and your family doesn't. When your home is a place that's godless, it's hard. And she decided when things got tough to make her way back home. She returned to her religion. Evidently, after all she had heard and seen of the Lord, the God of Israel, she knew about God, the God of Israel. She had heard the story. She had seen him through Naomi. They were practicing there in Moab, but even what she saw, she loved her old gods more. How often do we see that? Loving the old gods of your former life more than you do the God of Israel. She returned to her reality. She returned to her reality. Orpah would have never been happy in Israel. She was still tied to Moab in all of her heart. You know, Orpah is a picture of that person who's just a mere professor of the faith in the Lord. Yeah, in order to marry me, you're going to have to become a Catholic. Okay. Don't believe anything they believe, but just to get along. And then when the marriage dissolves or what something happens, they go back to their being Baptist or whatever again. Just a professor. There are so many people today that are just mere professors of faith in Jesus Christ. So many people just like Orpah who just said for convenience sake, said, yeah, I'll be around your God. I'll be a Jew. And she wasn't. Her home was never in Israel. Her home, her spiritual home, was never in God. She walked away from the light of God and is never heard from again. Her eternal destiny is not hard to figure out. Her eternal destiny is not in Psalms 9:17, it says this: the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Friend, don't turn your back on Jesus. Don't turn your back on God. He's the only hope you have. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And yet she turned and went back to these gods who were no gods at all. Makes you wonder if the witness of Ruth had been better. The witness of Elimelech had been better, her husband. It makes you wonder if they had been truly worshiping God where they were at. Maybe she would have seen God in their hearts and their lives. But she chose to go to her home. And there are so many folks today that are choosing to go to their home. Let me put it like this. I've seen so many folks, and I know some of you have too, who had lived their lives, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of sin in their lives. They come across and we present God to them and they go, yeah. And they get their lives a little better, but the first time something bad happens, do you know where they go? They don't go to God. They go back to their reality. They go back to their religion. They go back to their family where they're comfortable. That's their true home. That's a hard thing, guys. But that's where they go. Make it not so in your heart and your life. Make God first. And that brings us to the last widow, Ruth. She had a decision to make. Verse 15. In 18, it tells us about her decision. Ruth is a picture of that lost sinner. Let's look in verses 15 and 18. She says, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Don't you tell me to leave you. Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and the more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, Naomi stopped speaking to her. Ruth was not going to leave. Ruth is a picture of that lost sinner who looks into the things of God and then believes them by faith. She's a real possessor of the faith. She enters into the family of God and makes a total commitment to follow the Lord forever. Ruth decides to follow. Even though Naomi has nothing to offer her, she decides to follow Naomi. Evidently, something or someone had been working in her heart. And she is proof positive that God will speak to the hearts of sinners regardless of what His people do. You know, I thank God for those who love Him even when He doesn't give them things. Even when He doesn't solve their problems, they still love Him. How important was this decision that she made? This decision, at this point in time, when she could have went home, she could have had it easier, where she could have had it made. She was facing going into a foreign land, being ostracized there, not knowing exactly what was going to happen to her, but she decided that she would follow the God of Naomi. How important was that? It determined that Jesus would one day be born in Bethlehem. That's how important this story is. So the question is, what have you decided about Jesus? What have you decided about following God? You see, Ruth decided to follow by faith. She, in this statement, adopts a new family and a new Lord by faith. She received a new life and she received a new Lord because she exercised faith. There wasn't 120 questions about what are we going to do? How are we going to get there? How are we going to survive when we get there? None of that. She just said, where you go, I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. That's pretty awesome. She exercised faith. Let me tell you something. Everything changes at Calvary. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Her decision to follow God, the God of Naomi, was going to give her a whole new life. She didn't know what it was, but she trusted in God to give that life to her. And when she makes this decision, it wasn't a wishy-washy decision. She decided finally. It was a finality about this decision. Either you go or you don't go. There was no in-between. And she had to make that decision, and she made it. She makes a total commitment that extends all the way to her death. She says, where you're buried, I'm going to be buried. I'm going to stay with you and your God, our God. She devotes every second of every remaining day to walking with the Lord. And for her, there would be no looking back. A total commitment on her part. Let me ask you something. When you begin to look back at your old life and you begin walking in Christ and you head in another direction, when you look back, what is it that you're going to see? Well, what you'll find is death, destruction, darkness, defeat, doom. That's the old life that you were living. Why would you ever want to go back to that life? Why? And yet, we have those who eagerly go back, make a decision to go back to that life, to death, doom, destruction, and despair. Genuine Christianity is about commitment. In Matthew 16:24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. through the good times and the bad times. Are you all His? Is your all His? So which of these poor widows best represents the life that you're living right now? Are you like Naomi, a person who knows the Lord but needs to return to the place of blessing? Could you be an Orpah who've looked into the things of the Lord and have decided not to follow Him? But you've chosen your life and sin over the will of God? Or could you be like Ruth, and you've made a decision to follow the Lord, come what may, not knowing what's ahead in the future, until He takes you home? So which of these women best represent the life you are living right now? If you're saved, a saved child of God, and you're away from the Lord, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. If you're lost, you've never had a true saving experience in a saving relationship with God, and you're thinking about a life of faith, I invite you to receive Christ into your heart and your life today. Make that total commitment to Him. And if you're saved, secured, settled, and you're ready to work, I invite you to come before Him to worship, to praise Him, and to thank Him for the grace that brought you here. It's time to come home. I just hope and pray that your home is where Christ is and not where the world is. Because eventually, every stray dog finds their way home, don't they? Where's your home at today? As we stand and we give an invitation, a decision has to be made. Because in some way, shape, or form, we're all got some decision to make today. If you're here and you've never had a conversation with God about your salvation, you've never asked Him into your life, your heart, you've never totally committed your soul to Him, don't turn it away. Would you actively commit your life to Him this morning? If you're here today and you're a saved child of God and you're acting, your life reflects a defeated Christian who's going about actually hindering the cause of Christ, and you just want to give up, would you understand the hope that God is giving you today just simply by coming home and returning to Him? And if you're here today, and you're ready to commit your whole life to Him, from the cradle to the grave, maybe you're saved, a saved child of God, and you realize the greatness of God, and would you do that? You quit turning away from Him, just to follow Him. Would you do that? There's a whole lot of decisions that we all have to make, because the Spirit of God is dealing with each one of us differently, a different thing to decide. So whatever it is that God is dealing with your heart about, would you make that decision today? Would you? As we sing this morning.
Number 530.